I don't know about you, but we had an incredible weekend this last weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Junior high and high school, you guys can be dismissed. The rest of you guys, turn your eyes to the screen for a quick recap video of what happened this past weekend. Yeah, come on, would you give the Lord a big round of applause for what he's doing in our church? So incredible. If you're joining us online today, we want to say a big warm welcome to you. We're excited that you're here. Today's going to be a little bit of a different kind of Sunday. For 21 years as a staff pastor, I'd always come to these moments where we would have what I believe to be a spirit-led opening and a great victory that took place. And oftentimes as a church, if we're not careful, we'll pass through those moments and by those moments without stopping and recognizing what God's doing or the season that we're in. We're really good about in the church pushing and pulling and getting to the place to where lives are being changed. And we're really bad about actually stopping and celebrating what God's doing. And so today what we're going to do is going to be a little bit different, but we're going to end this service huddled up in prayer, asking the Lord for every seed that's been planted this last weekend, that it would be protected and watered by believers all throughout this county, because we believe that kingdom impact happened this weekend, this past weekend. And so we're going to spend a few moments in prayer, asking the Lord to do what only he can do. It's our job to plant and water, and in the end, it's his job to bring the increase. Amen? And so we're going to just spend a few moments in prayer. How many think it's a novel idea that the church prays? What a concept. And so we're going to spend a few moments at the end of this service in prayer. If you're here this morning, I know we see so many visitors here. If you're here because of one of our outreaches this last weekend, literally we've been praying for you. We've been praying that God would bring you through these doors. We're so excited that you're here. We believe that the best decision that you can ever make is giving your heart to Jesus. It's the life-transforming moment that has happened in all of us where we've said, Lord, it's not our will but yours. And it's led us on an incredible life of adventure. And so if you're here today, we want to say a big warm welcome to you and excited. So in a few moments, I'm going to invite some of our team leads that really helped lead this weekend up. And they're going to be able to share some stories. Some people that actually went out and knocked on doors have some incredible testimonies. I cannot tell you the amount of people that I prayed with and for on Saturday Convoy of Hope's outreach, whereas we just begin to bless people. The amount of tears that were shed, the amount of needs that were mentioned. It really took me off guard that the first person that actually went through the line was there about 2.5 hours early. They had heard that we were setting up and came through, and they rolled down their window. And before we could even deposit any food in that person's vehicle, with tears streaming down her cheeks. She said, you know, my mom just got diagnosed with terminal cancer, and I don't even know what we're going to do or how we're going to make it, but I just know I need help. And it's amazing that from the opening car door that opened, the amount of impact, timely God impact that was needed. Like right now, sitting in our community, there are people that are locked in depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts, and they've just gotten bad reports. And if it's not for the hope of Jesus, many of these people are going to choose directions that they should not choose, places of addiction, places of other kinds of addiction. And it's our heart and our hope to be people that create an environment, a spiritual environment, where it's not just what matters on the inside of our four walls 90 minutes on a Sunday, but actually learning that the greatest mission field that we have is out those doors every Sunday to reach a world that's in need of Jesus. And so that's what we're trying to create here, is we're trying to create this mission mindset that church is really, in the end, not about just what happens to you, but really what happens through you. And it was an incredible, incredible weekend for me. So let me give you just a couple opening thoughts, and then we're going to call Jason and Crystal and Leanna up and some of the team members up to share, and then we're going to end in prayer. But those of you guys that took the journey with me through Scripture, on Good Friday, we talked in detail about what the sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross. We went into some gory details. I felt like the Lord really leading me to a place to where we weren't just going to talk about it in a passing, where we say, yes, Jesus died on the cross. But we literally talked about the gory details of what he did for us that was really never even replicated on a Hollywood screen in so graphic and detail. But we know from reading Scripture that it's important that we understand the significance of the blood that was shed and the body that was beaten, the side that was pierced, the crown of thorns on his head, that what Jesus did on that cross wasn't, he didn't just sort of finish the work. The Bible says he finished the work. And if you're thankful that he finished that work, would you give him the biggest round of applause you've given him all morning? I'm thankful that he finished the work. And then what we did is on Sunday, we continued the story. And aren't you thankful that Friday led to Sunday? And the reason why we are allowed to climb out of the tombs or the caves that we live in as human beings is because Jesus conquered his tomb and his cave. And the reason why we can have victory, not partial victory, not sort of victory, but the reason why we can have victory is because the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now found in you and I. And so that gives us the ability to walk an overcoming life that allows us not just to set ourselves free, but to set other people free. And I was, as many of us this last weekend, was reminiscing that a lot of Christians, and I don't think it's wrong that they do so, but they really stop at movie one and movie two of the great, great story that's told about Christ. They are so thankful for what he did on Friday and so thankful that what he did on Sunday that they don't actually realize that the story continued. Did you guys realize that there's a story beyond the tomb? So I just want to read this quick devotional. John chapter 13, Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, his followers, what's about to happen. He's about to predict Judas's betrayal. He's about to predict Peter's denial. He is basically trying to teach them the same lessons over and over again that he taught with his first miracle when he turned water into wine. Do you know that the people who got to see Christ's miracle when he turned water into wine, do you know who it was? It was the servants. And so he's getting ready to teach that same lesson in a different kind of way in John chapter 13. And really what he says is in verse 14, and I don't want to read it verbatim, he says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of someone else. You know, many of us think about the idea of power. We think about crowns and kingdoms, and we think about intellect, we think about debate, we think about rulers, we think about military strength, we think about in Christian circles, we think about signs, wonders, and miracles. We praise God for the person who God healed this week. And if we're not careful, though, we'll define the power of God as something different than it actually really is. The power of God in display, the Bible says, the gateway to that is not that you get titles or positions or authority. The gateway to the power of God is actually found through being a servant. The Bible says if you want to be great, what must you become? Servant of all. And so in John chapter 13, we learn this powerful lesson that if you want to see the power of God in display through your church and through your ministry or through your life, don't go chasing signs, wonders, and miracles. Actually, go chasing what it means to be a servant. Go find someone's feet to wash. And what our church hopefully learned this last weekend is if you want to see needs met, don't just pray about God delivering signs, wonders, and miracles, but go actually start by meeting the needs of the people around you. Go to the well and find the woman caught in adultery. Go to the person who's hungry and clothe them. Go to the widow that needs something in their pantry and feed it. Because why? I believe the power of God is never at greater display than when the kingdom of God is found being a servant of all. So you have to understand the picture. The King of Kings knelt before dusty feet. He didn't need to prove anything. It had already proven that he was a son of God. But in that quiet moment, he taught something louder than any sermon. He said, greatness is found in humility, and love is shown through service. Do I believe signs, wonders, and miracles need to be happening through the church? I believe that. But the Bible says that we're not supposed to chase them. They're supposed to chase us. If we find ourselves washing the feet of people and not being so consumer-driven, I believe that's when the power of God begins to be displayed through a group of believers. Are you tracking with me this morning? It's important that we get our mind set up right. So Friday was the cross. Sunday was the victory of the tomb. And the Bible says that Jesus gave explicit instructions and said, I want you to go wait in the upper room because I'm about to fill you with a power that you've never been filled with before. You guys recognize that there's a difference between being sealed with the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people get those two things mixed. When we accept Christ and we're born again, the Bible says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Then the Bible says, ask the question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you've believed? In other words, there is this second moment that we can have in our faith where we can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so many people stopped at being sealed and they don't realize that there's the opportunity to be filled. And if you ever want to reach your world for Jesus, if you ever want to see things that you've always wanted to see, two things that need to happen. You need to learn that the greatest way that you can impact your world is through a heart of service. And the second is seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when you begin to do that, when you begin to say, Lord, I believe that there is something more that you're calling me to, what you become is you become what Judas failed to become. Won't you listen to me? Judas wanted to know what was in it for him. And the Bible says that in his allegiance was traded for 30 dirty pieces of silver. He was wanting to take a withdrawal when God was asking him to make a deposit. So many people come to church on Sunday and they want to ask this question, what about me? What's in it for me? Is the music the way that I'm going to like it? Is the pastor going to preach the way that I like it? Is the power going to be there? Is there going to be signs and wonders and miracles? And the short answer should be, yes, God's got you. He's going to take care of you. But if you're coming to the kingdom and you're asking, what about me? You're going to miss the whole point of the kingdom. The whole point of the kingdom is not how great you can be or what you can consume. The whole point of the kingdom is, what can I lay down and what can I give? Not what I can withdraw. And so church has to be more about what I can give than what I can get. Here's how the Bible says it. The Bible says it, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, and then all of these things. What is all of these things? Is it some? Is it most? Is it three quarters? Is it the stuff that you want? No. The Bible says if you'll learn how to be a seeker of the kingdom, then all of these things will be added unto you. And so if you're coming to church with a mindset of what's in it for me, what can I get deposited into me, you're going to be like Judas and you're going to fail to learn some of the greatest lessons that you need to learn as a believer, which is, Lord, it's not what happens to me that you really want to happen. It's what you want to give that gets deposited in me that goes through me to the broken world that's around me. How many want to be a vessel of his glory? I want to be a vessel of his glory. I don't Gone are the days for me where I want to come and just play church. Gone are the days where I want to have the production of this church where everyone walks away smiling because their needs are met. If you guys can picture that there is something that wants to get deposited on you and in you so that when you walk out those doors today, that when you go to your work or you go to your family, that there is actually something that's going to be going through you that's going to be able to touch the lost and lonely, bruised and broken world. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. The kind of church that realizes that the greatest, yeah, come on, give the Lord a big round of applause. Really, what the towels teach us is that when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, he said, I'm going to take this towel and I'm going to clean something that you really can't clean yourself. And really, we are the modern day towels. You know, in the Old Testament, when Elijah passed his mantle on to Elisha, it actually dropped on the floor and Elisha had to go pick it up. And this mantle was a significant kind of symbolic piece of God's anointing resting on a man. In the Old Testament, God spoke of mantles. In the New Testament, God spoke of towels. You guys tracking with me? Most people want to seek the mantle of authority, of power for signs, wonders, and miracles, but yet they don't want to pick up the towels when it comes to serving the broken around them. If you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles released in your community, find a towel and go find some dirty feet. Because when you find a towel and you find a dirty feet, what you're going to find is someone who's in need of a miracle. And the Bible says that he didn't come for the well, he came for the sick. He didn't come for the people that were okay. He came for the people that were not okay. And I want us to be about the business of the Father when it comes to finding a towel and finding a need. You know, that towel represents humility. It was a tool of cleansing. It was a mark of true leadership, but it was also an invitation to action. The towel, in short, is more than a cloth. It's actually a call. I believe that our church, what God is positioning us for this year, starting next week with Dave Reaver, is he's positioning us to be people of the towel. If you want to chase signs and wonders and miracles and you want to see God do incredible things, don't go chase the mantle, go chase a towel. And if you will learn how to be a servant, what God will do is he'll put you in front of people that are literally hurting and broken. And I'm not talking about driving up through our community and seeing the obvious need of the homeless. God wants to meet them at their point of their need, but I'm also talking to the business owner. I'm talking to the professional. I'm talking to the person who has money. Because many of us in this room know that you can try to fill every void in your heart with a lot of things that this world has to offer. You can try to fill it with relationships. You can try to fill it with money. You can try to fill it with popularity. You can try to fill it with things and homes and investments. But what you'll find is you'll be more empty at the end than you were at the beginning. And the only thing that can fill that hole in people's heart is Jesus. And so what I've been asking the Lord for in our community is to create a kind of church that is a catalyst that says, Lord, we're not going to be chasing mantles. We're going to be chasing towels. We're going to go chase what it means to serve this community and serve each other, because I believe when we serve in the kingdom, God's greatness is released. So picture yourself in the upper room. Peter's up there. He's probably replaying in his mind the time that he denied Jesus. Thomas, doubting Thomas, is probably sitting up there wondering why he didn't just trust the Lord and why he had to go through the extra kind of diva kind of mentality of having to do something that even the other disciples, but Jesus met them at the point of their need. And could you imagine sitting in that upper room and you could picture the thousands of people that were following Jesus when he was doing all these many mighty works, but the Bible says only about 120 of them actually were obedient to get to the upper room. So the truth of it is there's a lot of people that want to be around for the signs and wonders and miracles and the consumer Christianity, but very few people actually want to be part of the kingdom and get to the upper room. And what I want to do is I want to create an atmosphere in our church where when we come here, it's on Sunday mornings, it's, Lord, we recognize that you sealed us with your Holy Spirit, and now we want you to baptize us with your Holy Spirit. We want you to fill us to a place of overflowing because, Lord, we don't want to be like the Dead Sea spiritually. We don't want to just be known for what comes to us, but Lord, we want to be known with what's been released through us. And I believe that there's a hungering hitting our nation, There's a hungering hitting our valley. There's a hunger hitting our churches that we are just really fed up with just doing church for church sake. But we want to be part of what God's doing in the kingdom that's going to release revival to our neighborhoods. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's division everywhere. There's division in politics. There's division in local governments. There's division in how we are supposed to do everything. And the last place that the world should find division is in the body of Christ. And what we need to be after, in my humble opinion, is we need to be after not chasing a mantle of authority, but chasing a towel of service. And when we find ourselves washing people's feet, that's when we're actually going to begin to see the signs and wonders and miracles. And we don't have to be chasing those. You know why? Because those are going to be chasing us. And we've seen them chase us. And so this pastor, I want you guys to know, from all the volunteers, Leanna, Jason, and Crystal, I think we had 100 volunteers show up on Saturday just for the giving out of the food. 17,000 eggs were given away. The sound system that was put up. How many enjoyed Easter outside by the crosses? That was just incredible. The baptisms. If I were to go through all the names of people that really made this weekend happen, I'm thankful that we have a bunch of people that aren't chasing titles or mantles. They're chasing towels. Because if we will chase towels, I am telling you, God will use this church to impact a region like never before. How many towel people do we have in the room? How many people that say, Lord, I want to be a servant. I want to find people that have needs. And what you're going to see is you're going to see some incredible miracles take place, not because we're chasing mantles, but because we're chasing towels. On that note, I want to call Jason and Crystal. If Leanna's still in the room, Leanna, would you come forward? I wanted to be able to share these testimonies with a proper humility of what God's doing, because if we're not careful in the church, what got us to see these incredible miracles, we'll think that it's actually something we did, and then we don't see the miracles anymore. But what we begin to see is if we recognize that we are called to be servants, when God allows us to be servants, great miracles can happen. You know that we were able to hand out $40,000 worth of food at a cost of $0 to the church? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I think we have like 10 bags out in the lobby if there's people that need, if you're here and you're in need, we've got some small leftovers out there. Please take it all. We don't want anything left. At some point, I think on Saturday, I leaned over to Jason and I said, I wonder if the disciples ever looked at Jesus when the fishes and loaves are being spread and said, okay, Lord, stop doing the miracle. We're tired. Stop it. Because there was a point there on Saturday where we were like, no more. Like, give it away. Like, it's too much. But it's funny how the kingdom mindset, man, teaches you so many lessons. But I don't know which one of you guys wants to start. But Jason and Crystal, for just introduction, they help serve in our prayer and outreach team. They've got some wonderful outreaches that are planned. Leanna really, from the start, I mean, she handled Rise 24 and Convoy of Hope collab. Why don't you guys come up here and give us maybe one or two just highlights of what you guys saw. And then Crystal, if you want to invite some people up to share. Yep.
So, check here. Hello. Hi. So it was such an awesome experience last weekend to get to be a part of each and every piece of that. I really appreciate that we have a visionary for a pastor. Sometimes they'll say things, and we often will joke, that is a good hand, give him a hand for that. We'll often joke about that, like we have way more vision than ability. And, you know, just to go by the unction and leading of the Spirit, not by the current provision you see. And he's faithful with that, to step into that. And so I just appreciate that. I'll have to admit, at first I was like, what are we doing? I don't get it, but hey, I'm in. Cool, you know? And then just to see God move on it and bring the people, not just the people that we were able to serve, but the people. It's one great thing about Parkway is Parkway shows up. Like, you guys just show up to give and to pour out the things of the Spirit. So thank you for that. So Leanna was out of breath, and Jason's never a starter, so I have to start, just to say. So it was super fun to watch that all come together with just how the Lord was pouring out. We were super blessed to have people who you may or may not know. We had several teams of about 20 people were taking food out into neighborhoods and knocking on doors and ministering to people, as well as, like you said, I mean, I don't even know how many people were here handing out food and gathering food and boxing up food. And it's super fun to watch the different giftings and abilities come together, and people with different skills willing to just offer everything they have unto the Lord, and to see people being prayed over and ministered to with each box, with each thing. It was precious, precious to watch. And Leanna really worked hard on getting it all organized and all together. She was really the heart of it all, diligently. I was going to ask you to share, but I loved what you said one time. I just don't worry about volunteers because Parkway just shows up. I don't stress on it, which is great. So,
I think that was one of my, I did have, at one point, someone asked, well, how many volunteers do you have? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm not keeping track. I'm confident that when the day comes, Parkway shows up and we have everything we need. And boy, did we. Even from when the truck came to drop off the food, we had enough people show up here, take everything off, organize it, and we were ready to bless the community. I think the biggest takeaway that I received from getting to be a part of Convoy of Hope is that there was no way that we could orchestrate that in a way of something that we did. It was something that was brought to us. It was given to us for free. We might have put boxes together, and got the word out, but the community came, and I was telling Brooke after I was processing the day, and I said, I was just telling her, you know, honestly, it was heartbreaking to see the need in our community right before us, and how deep it is, but it was also equally as encouraging to watch our church step up and be prepared to help meet that need. And I think that was the most encouraging part, is we see the need. Thank you, Lord, that we had the ability to help meet just a small need, just to touch them in one tangible way, in hopes that God would be able to move on their hearts and in their lives. And then secondly, just for our church, what a blessing. I truly, when I did tell Crystal, I don't worry about volunteers for big events. For some that Convoy was new for me, so I was learning along with you, but for some of the other events, I plan a little more with volunteers, but I never worry because you guys, I feel like, want to serve your community. The heart that beats through this church to take care of needs when we see them is incredible. And so thank you guys for that. And I think one story that I'll share, and I won't share any names, but there was a car that came through, and there was two families that were in the car. And they said, yeah, we have about a family of 10 that we, you know, need food for. And we're talking with them, and one of the moms, they're actually expecting, and we're expecting at the same time. And upon talking to them and getting to just hear their story, they had brought up how every week it's a struggle for them to feed their family, to feed their family of 10, but that they live together to try to make that just a little bit easier. And we got to pray for them, and I actually think Michelle went back there and prayed for them after me, but I remember walking away from that going, Lord, I need a reflection from this. Like, I need to grow from this, because I don't struggle with knowing what it feels like to feed my kids every week. But God, if you could give me the answer to help those that do, I'll do whatever you say. And I invited them to church, and hopefully we'll see them again. But I just think if the church isn't doing that, then what are we doing? And that, I think, was the biggest takeaway, or the biggest blessing that I got to experience that weekend. And thank you guys for all your help with that. So.
And I had asked about 3 people if they'd be willing to come up and maybe just share some testimonies of things they encountered when handing out food. I think it was Matt, Connie, Valerie. If you guys can come this way, work your way Up this way. I don't see anybody moving. Matt's moving. Awesome.
Praise the Lord. Hello. Yeah, it was just such a blessing to be able to go out and bless the community. And there's so much need out there. And a lot of people don't make their way to church, but it was so amazing to be able to be the church and go out. And we went to a 55 and older apartment complex. And so there's a lot of need there, a lot of lonely people. Reception to us. Oh yeah, come on in. They'd share what's going on in their life, 10, 15 minutes, and we were able to pray with them, and the presence of the Lord showed up powerfully, and tears, and we'd get words or whatever. And a lot of times we could just sense the heaviness or the chaos going on spiritually in their home, and we were able to just bring God's presence in. And we had like one more package left, care pack, that we were trying to find a house, and nobody was answering, or people, oh, I'm fine. And then we knocked on this lady's door, and she's like, you know, I think I'm pretty good. We told her we're from Parkway, just out blessing the community. And we asked if she could use prayer for anything. She's like, oh, I'm okay. And we're like, well, just bless you in Jesus' name kind of thing. And we ended up finding another gal to give that food to. And then we were leaving, and she chased us down in the parking lot. She's like, where do you guys say you were from? And we're like, oh, we're from Parkway, and we're just out blessing. And she's like, yeah, well, I just really like your guys' energy. And I was like, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. And if you want to come to church, you know, we'd invite everybody. Not that it was just about inviting people to Parkway, but people were seeking God's presence and seeking the real, you know, the power of God. And so it was just a blessing to be able to go out and just meet people and their needs, and just to experience God's presence come and touch people. It's just really cool. So praise the Lord.
Well, my husband and I went out, and Crystal gave us a couple of different addresses, and we went to some apartment buildings and went knocking on doors. And the first, we saw a guy in a parking lot, and he came over, and so Keith goes, hey, you know, this is what we're doing. He goes, oh, cool, let me go tell my neighbors. So he went out, and he was saying, Keith, go up here, and Keith, you know, let's go over here. And they were just so open, and there were so many people that were in need. One lady, Keith, I was talking with somebody else, and he went up with a box for a woman, and they came back, got another box, and went up, and he motions me up, and so I went, and we were praying with her, and she was so grateful. And we're kind of new to this area, and we were quite stunned at the number of people who had recovered from addiction, but now they were asking prayer for their children. They're adult children, and one of them had a daughter in rehab, so we were praying with her for her daughter, and she was so grateful, and at the end, she looked at us and said, I have $6 left till the end of the month. I'm so grateful that you guys came, you know, and so there's so much need in the Lord, but they're so grateful. There was one guy we took a box to and asked him if he needed any food, but he said, I'm sorry, I can't use it because I just had all my teeth pulled. And I went, oh, I'm so sorry. I wanted to almost go back with a bunch of soup for him, you know, because that's so difficult. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to lead you to where there's people in need, if we can just be aware. So that's my prayer. You know, almost every day, Holy Spirit, what are you doing today? Help me be aware of it. He's in us and wants to work through us. And just help me not be in a hurry and pay attention. So it's such a privilege. Thank you. Thank you for your heart. And thank you.
Yeah. Connie, you can just share something, a testimony.
Yeah, Matt and I went together. It was super fun, super great. We had this one woman that we walked in and gave her some food, and she told us she was a Catholic lady, and the Lord gave me a word that she had a problem with her foot, and so I just asked her, I said, do you have a problem with your foot? She goes, yeah, my foot and my whole left side. She got I had a stroke, and so I said, you know, God showed me that because he wants to heal you, so I said, can I put my hand on your foot? She goes, no, that's weird. I was like, okay, no problem. So we prayed for her, and we just had, you know, we all have our own sphere of influence. Wherever you are, I'm not there. Wherever you are, I'm not there. And so, like, something the Lord's had me do lately is every time I see a homeless person by the grocery store, I go and buy them a chicken. Because I was told by homeless people, we need protein. So go and buy a chicken and find someone to hand it to, or a jar of peanut butter, and it's fine. Because food opens the door. Giving opens the door.
Amen.
We're going to wrap it up. So I just wanted to share, some of you guys know for about 7 years, I got the privilege and the honor to travel with a disaster relief called Crisis Response International. We did disaster relief all over the United States. And what that looks like is a disaster hits, and within days we're on the ground with a mobile kitchen unit and some disaster supplies, and we set up pods, point of distributions, and stuff like that. And I want to share with we talk a lot, like the people getting up here and sharing about what it looks like to go out and actually be the person that knocks on the door. And some of us sitting in this room are like, that's not me. I don't want to be the person that knocks on the door. I don't want to be the person that says, can I touch your foot and pray for you? So if you're feeling that, I want to encourage you. I started out talking about Crisis Response International. There was a lady that showed up on one of the first deployments that I was on. It was Louisiana. We set up in this warehouse, and they had just gotten hit by a massive storm. They didn't have power. They didn't have water. They didn't have food. And no one was prepared for it. It was one of those storms that they anticipated would pass through, and it was massive. It was complete devastation. Houses were destroyed. And we showed up, and we'd go out with teams, and we'd go and we'd gut people's houses. So we're recruiting for more volunteers to come with us to help with this mission, and this lady showed up, and I won't say she was an old lady because I'm getting older in age now, and that age keeps moving. She was an older lady, and she showed up, and my initial thought, I'll be completely honest, my initial thought is, what are we going to do with her? And she showed up, and she brought a chair, and she brought a Bible, and she said, I'm here to pray. And she came out on every single deployment, every single house that we were at, and she drug her chair, and she sat down, and she prayed. Quickly, she became the person that, as the other people that didn't want to be the one to knock on the door when they came face to face with somebody, said, go talk to her, right? So there's a huge amount of work that needs to be done. If you're hearing this and you're going, I don't think I want to do that kind of thing, there's so much work that can be done with just showing up, just being a part of. So when something like this comes up at Parkway, and I believe we're going to do a lot more stuff like this, a lot more outreaches, a lot more opportunities, please don't look at it and say, can I be involved in that? Can I unload a truck? Can I pack boxes? I don't have the strength. I'm not, my feet don't work like they used to, or I don't want to do that. I don't want to hand food through the window of people. There's a whole group of people that are standing behind the team that are praying. And if you're in this room and you're praying for that, thank you. But I want to encourage you to show up with us and come out, even though you go, I don't want to do that. Show up anyways and get involved. As I look across the room and I see some people, conversations, I'm going to pick on some people. I'm going to tell some stories, but I won't go into too much detail. We got called around the back, and there was a gentleman there that needed some prayer. So we went back there. Two other guys joined me, and I had explained to this gentleman that we were going to ask the Lord what he wanted to pray for us. It was obvious he needed healing for his legs and stuff. He was in a wheelchair. I believe that you ask the Lord, what are we supposed to pray for before you just jump in and lay hands and say, be healed, right? So we're asking the Lord, and I explained to him, and I won't go into too much detail, but I looked at one of the gentlemen, and I said, what's the Lord saying? And I can see the panic in their eyes. And they went, I'm not hearing anything. And then they opened their mouth and they started to speak. And it was the most beautiful thing, because that person took themselves out of it and the Holy Spirit took over. And that, it was amazing to watch, right? So be encouraged that even though you may be put on the spot, like what's the Lord saying or that kind of a thing, be encouraged that the Holy Spirit does speak to you. You hear the voice of the Lord, right? The word says that, so we believe that. So, I don't know. Anyways, that's about it.
We are desperately, desperately believing for a move of God in this community. As Connie and Valerie were talking about, didn't realize when I moved here how much addiction was really steeped into the culture here, where I've had so many parents ask me to pray for their kids. And I just felt like that was one of the prayer points that we need to huddle up as a church and pray over. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a community where the devil has control. I believe that we're able ministers of the gospel. And I've been declaring in the hours of the morning when I've been interceding on behalf of this community, I'm gonna show you what kind of stuff I've been praying for. We command with the authority that's found in the mighty name of Jesus, devil, get your hands off this community. We pray for every addiction. We pray for every disease, every infirmity to be gone in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that you're gonna make this valley known for the marriages that last, the kids that are raised up right before you, the gospel ministers that are sent from it, that you're actually going to change what Grants Pass has been known for, that it's going to be a place of unity and relational love and respect. It's going to be a place, Lord, where you're going to cause such a turnaround that the world or the nation's going to look at Grants Pass and ask what's been happening. But Lord, we know that we're going to take our pointer finger and say it's not a church, it's you that's done the work. And so, Lord, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you agree with that kind of prayer, would you say amen? Amen. That's the authority that we can have in the atmosphere that we're allowed to change. And so what I want to do two things as we close. And thank you guys for allowing us to have a different kind of service today that I believe is Holy Spirit led. The amount of doors that we're able to walk through, like when I think about going to Fleming and being able to, the youth team being able to bless families out at Fleming and Madrone and some of the other schools, and the principals literally just saying, if you guys can help us meet the need of this community, we welcome it. That there is an open door for a church to go beyond just being a church that just checks the box, that lives inside the four walls. But Lord, I pray that our church would hear the gravity and the weight of the burden that's in front of us. That we can be your hands and feet. That we can change a region for your glory. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. You're here this morning. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. You say, Pastor, the whole time you've been talking or people have been sharing, you said, man, my heart's been beating in my chest, and I feel like it's time for me to surrender my life to Jesus. And I want to give my heart to him. If that's you, with everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed across this room, would you slip up your hand so I can see it? Thank you. I see your hand. Yes. Yes. It wasn't by chance that the Holy Spirit just had me stop and give that call to you two in particular. Lord, would you do a work in their life, we pray in Jesus' name. Parkway, would you help me? Would you guys place your hands over your heart to join these two? Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, this morning I recognize my need, and my need is you. You're what I've been searching for. You're what I've been longing for. Lord, I give you permission in the coming moments and days to do a deep work in my heart and my life. Father, I declare in this moment, there is nothing off limits. You take it all. My hopes, my dreams, my nightmares, my faults, my failures. Lord, you have it all. You have the days I regret and the days I have left. I thank you for what you did on that cross and what you did out of that tomb. And we thank you that you're making me new. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Come on, would you rejoice with heaven? Hallelujah. Yes. Jason, could you come right by this young man right here? I don't mean to point you out, but the Lord's moving on your heart. And I need a woman of God to come pray for that young girl right there. Would you wave your hand so everyone, there's Chris, yeah. Lord, I pause in this moment because I recognize you're doing something that's deep in these two people's hearts. That you would stop a service, that you would stop a moment. Father, we pray for your anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, every lie that's been told to them, every lie that they've believed, we rebuke in Jesus' name. And we speak to the identity of who they actually are. They're a son and daughter of the King. And Lord, we walk out of this place recognizing that we're not going to walk out of this place the same person as we walked in. Lord, we give you our heart and our lives, and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen and amen. Would you guys do me a favor? Would you guys stand up across this room? Would you guys huddle in maybe groups of 4 to 6 people if you feel comfortable? If you don't feel comfortable, maybe stand next to a spouse, grab their hand. Would we take about 90 seconds as the worship team prays and or plays? Would we just pray and ask the Lord for every seed that was planted this last weekend, that it would be watered and harvested for what God's doing in our community, in our church? Would you guys just take a moment and pray? If you've joined us online, we say thank you. Would you guys, as the service ends online, would you huddle in your living rooms or where you're watching and pray? Yes. If you're still praying, continue to pray. If you don't know the people that you're praying with, maybe high-five them, slap them on the back, tell them you're glad to have them at church today. You guys are dismissed if you guys need to be dismissed, but if you want to continue to pray, you can pray. We're so glad that you guys came to church today. We'll see you tonight at 5:00.